Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. If you pay any attention to the religious scene in America, you know the enormous confusion surrounding men who claim to be preachers. Now, I'm not speaking of what they preach or ought to preach, although that can be very confusing too. I'm referring to the way we address preachers. Can you believe any man would be so arrogant as to accept the exalted title, Reverend? Does the preacher deserve to be revered more than other faithful sons and daughters of God? Some churches refer to their preachers as pastors, but no preacher is a pastor unless he is also an elder of the church. The term priest cannot be scripturally applied exclusively to religious leaders. All Christians are priests, 1 Peter 2:9, Revelation 1:6. Even the term minister should not be used of preachers only. When a church calls their preacher the minister, that means he is the only servant in the congregation. The Apostle Paul puts all of this in the right light when he asks, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministered by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." 1 Corinthians 3:5. The word minister is the Greek diakonos and means servant. It is the term transliterated deacon and translated servant or minister. The word is used of civil government, Romans 13:4, and even of Phoebe, who is called a servant of the church in Cenchrea, Romans 16:1. Did you know that Paul never considered himself a senior pastor or senior minister? The men who worked with Paul were not inferior associates. They were co-workers and fellow soldiers. He never considered himself to be superior to the younger men with whom he worked in the Lord's vineyard. That should be the attitude of every preacher of the gospel, whether young or old. I have been privileged for years to work with younger preachers. I have never referred to them as associate preachers. They're simply fellow workers and fellow soldiers. The Apostle Paul traveled widely throughout Asia Minor and Europe. There is hardly any doubt he established more local congregations than any other preacher in the first century. He informed the Corinthians of his work in that city. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." 1 Corinthians 3:6. We probably do not have a record of all the churches Paul planted, but we know what occurred in the city of Corinth. Paul visited Corinth and found Aquila and Priscilla. He stayed with them because they and Paul were of the same occupation. Paul went into the Jewish synagogue every Sabbath and reasoned with the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, Acts 18:1-5. Paul's preaching that Jesus was the Christ caused considerable furor among the Jews at Corinth, but great good resulted from Paul's faithful preaching. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, Acts 18:8. When the Corinthians believed and were baptized, what was their status in God's sight? They were forgiven of their sins. Jesus commanded his apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. Since the Corinthians believed and were baptized, how can anyone deny they were saved? The Apostle Paul adds, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:13. If you are not a member of the body of Christ, will you not today imitate the example of the Corinthians? If you believe, will you repent and be baptized to be forgiven? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.